everybody. I'm Kayla Hansen.
And I'm Madison DeWinney. And we're here to introduce to you our favorite person to laugh at and our best friend.
You may think that you know Trey, but you don't really know Trey until you spend as much time with him as we have. He's the one who kills it at Just Dance, and hips sure don't lie.
Whose laugh can be heard from over a mile away.
Is 21 years old and still can't pronounce the words Massachusetts, Vietnamese, or Chihuahua.
Who has the talent of being able to take a selfie with about 45 chins.
Is the one who may or may not have accidentally not let the governor of Texas in the elevator with him at Texas FFA State Convention.
And as much as he denies it, he is Ross from Friends.
But above all else, he's the one
who is so strong in his faith and loves the Lord and everything he has.
Is our favorite person to sit on the couch with, watching Friends and laughing for hours.
Who has such a servant heart for this organization and is always there to lift you up and push you to your highest potential.
As Trey always says, no matter where life takes you, never forget where you came from. National FFA, thank you for being his home this past year.
It is now our honor to introduce to you our best friend
and our favorite fellow fighting Texas Aggie
and your Western Region Vice President,
Trey Elizondo.
One of my favorite things in life is to record moments of my life. Whether that be through journaling or Snapchat stories, I love sharing a piece of me with those around me. So today, I brought some pictures with me. Who'd like to see some pictures of me growing up? First, we have a picture with me and my first girlfriend, Katie. Now, Katie and I were madly in love. And in fact, we even got married inside of her mom's bathroom where her brother acted as the priest. Sadly, though, our marriage ended in divorce just about a week later at the swing set at my house. Next, we have a picture with my first show steer, Mickey. Now, I loved Mickey, and I was so proud of him. And almost every day when I'd go feed him, I'd sing him, "Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Mickey, hey, 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 Mickey." Next, we have a picture with me and my area officer team at Texas FFA State Convention in 2014. This picture was taken shortly before my teammates and I were going to get food at Subway Sandwiches. So it was my job to direct our way there. However, when we got to the location, I said, "Oh no, this is the Subway station, not Subway Sandwiches." This was just many of many moments of Trey moments in my life. Next, we have a picture with me and the Karazawa family. The Karazawa family was my host family when my teammates and I went to Japan. This picture was taken shortly after my three host brothers totally crushed me in some Japanese video games. I literally had no idea what I was doing. Next, we have a picture with my small group at one of my favorite stops this year, Oklahoma FFA Alumni Camp. My small group and I called ourselves the French Toast Mafia, and we were most known for our signature tray walk that went a little something like this. French Toast Mafia! French Toast Mafia! And though we did not win the Small Group Spirit Award at Oklahoma FFA, we still managed to have the greatest time at camp. This canvas is a short timeline of some of my favorite memories of my life. In these moments, I felt love for myself and love from those around me. However, what happened in the moments between these pictures? what happened in the white space in these pictures? In the white space between these pictures, there was plenty of other amazing memories. But there was also times I wasn't proud of who I was, and I neglected to love others the way they loved me. We live the way they loved me. Some of us live in a world of more white space than others. Some of us have lived in a world of so much unconditional love. But some of us live in a world of so much white space, we feel as if we're not enough. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where we're so caught up in serving ourselves, we forget to serve those around us. We live in a world where it's not okay to be yourself because it doesn't fit the mold of society. We forget so often that each and every one of us were beautifully and wonderfully created to be nothing but our authentic self. We forget so often that people are people too, with the same desire to be loved and valued. When did our world become so broken? However, amongst all the brokenness, there is one constant that never fails to bring hope and spread peace in this broken world of ours. And that constant is love. During my walk in this life and during my time wearing this jacket, there is two very important lessons I've learned about love. First, loving yourself for who you are creates true happiness. And second, love is created whenever we serve those around us. Now, we're going to jump back in time to whenever I was in sixth grade. Now, whenever I was in sixth grade, I wouldn't necessarily say I was the smartest kid in the class, and if anybody played a sport with me on the road this year, you definitely know I'm not the most athletic. However, there was one thing that I excelled at more than any other kid in my class, and that was prose and poetry storytelling. Cool, I know. There was nothing I loved more than telling a story, becoming the character, and wowing the judges. My teachers and my principal saw this passion I had for storytelling, and they worked with me every day to ensure that I would make it to the state contest. We searched high and low until we found a story called Mrs. Stein that was about a mean substitute teacher that I'm actually going to recite a piece of for you today. The school bell rings. We go inside. Our teacher isn't there. Maybe she's sick, her pet cries out. Yeah, right, as if I'd care. I have a D in language arts. My grade in math's the same. And now my teacher might be sick? Could be. I'm part to blame. She doesn't like me. That's a fact. I wouldn't tell a lie. She says stuff like, you're very smart, but you don't even try. I start to laugh, my teacher's sick, and boy, I'm feeling fine. Till someone kicks the door right in, and there stands Frankenstein. She's 6'8", her dress is black, she's wearing combat boots. I start to grasp, she growls and says, I'll be your substitute. Now granted, whenever I was reading this story in sixth grade, I was experiencing a time of my life where my voice wasn't actually the deepest yet. So whenever I did my witch voice for Mrs. Stein, I went all out. My favorite part of doing the Mrs. Stein poem was when she would call out all the students in the class and go, now you, now you, now you. In this moment, when I was reading this story, I was proud of who I was. I didn't care about how much lunch recess I missed or how much other people thought it was weird that I worked on my story so much. However, there was one day that changed everything. That was the day my principal came into my classroom, took me out of class, and said a few short words that instantly made me squirm in nervousness. He said, okay, we're gonna work on your story today. But this time, we're gonna say it in front of the entire eighth grade class. Now given, there was only 12 kids in the small eighth grade class of my small private school, But still, this made me shake in my boots. As I walked into the 8th grade classroom, feeling them stare me down, I began to get nervous. I began to think, what if they think I'm weird? What if they make fun of my witch voice that I do for Mrs. Stein? Why do I even like doing this? Okay. So I began reading my story. Oh, okay, this is going so far so good. Oh, hey, someone just laughed over there. That's a good sign, right? Oh, wait, here comes the first Mrs. Stein voice. Do I say it? Do I not? Do I use my normal voice? Do I use that voice? My name is Mrs. Stein, she said. In that moment, I decided not to do my Mrs. Stein voice in fear of what other people may think of me. In that moment, I felt instant disappointment because I let other people decide how I was going to live my life. However, it was because of that disappointment that day I made a decision. I made a decision to no longer care what other people thought of me or my weird Mrs. Stein voice. And because of it, just a few months later, I was shaking in my boots once again at the state contest, telling 3 judges the story of Mrs. Stein. And just a few hours after that, I got to leave the state contest with my head high as I displayed my sixth place medal. It was in that moment right there, I was proud of who I was. Loving yourself for who you are creates true happiness. So often in life we see things the world tells us are imperfections and forget those are the things that make us perfect. Each and every one of us were created to be perfectly imperfect and are perfect just the way we are. We see ourselves as dumb, stupid, awkward, or weird, or plain just not good enough. But we forget those titles that we put on ourselves do not have the power to define us. But what defines us is how we take those things the world tells us are not enough and choose to love them anyways. How much happiness are you living with? Odds are, it has to do with how much you love yourself. How much do you love yourself? When you look in the mirror, do you see someone who is not enough by the world's standards? Or do you see someone who is cherished, loved, and valued? Well, newsflash people, we live in a broken world that is spreading everything except happiness. Stop looking for happiness in a world that will never be able to provide that for you. And look for the true source of happiness, which is love. Each of us have a heart aching and yearning to feel like it's loved. But we can't do that until we break the chains that encompass our hearts and make us so insecure and choose to love yourself anyways. Loving yourself for who you are creates true happiness. Now, just about a year ago, I was here at National Convention, and as I was running for national office and getting ready for one of my final interviews, I visited one of my favorite places to find peace here in Indy, and that is St. John's Catholic Church, which is located right across the street from the Expo. As I was sitting in one of the very first pews of the church, I began to try journaling. In this moment, I was nervous and frustrated. I knew so badly I wanted to serve this organization, but so often, I felt like I wasn't good enough. As I began to try and journal, the only words I could get on my paper were, "Who am I?" The only words I could think of were, "Who am I?" Because I thought, who am I? Who makes me think that I am good enough to be called a leader? I have failed time and time again. Why do I think that I have the ability to serve those around me? As I was contemplating these thoughts, I heard yelling behind me. As I turned around, I saw a homeless man who was sleeping in the back pew being yelled at by someone for sleeping there. As I watched the incident unfold, I could tell the homeless man was very upset. I turned back around, looked forward, and I thought, what do I do? Do I go there and check on him, or should I just leave it the way it is? It was then I got up from my pew, walked over to the man, took a seat, looked at him and said, "Hi, I'm Trey." He turned back to me and said, "Hi, I'm Gordon." I then turned to Gordon and asked, "Are you okay?" He looked at me and said, "Yeah, he was fine. All that he needed was some money for a bus pass and food to get through the rest of the week." As I scrounged through my things to find some money, I realized this man needed something so much more than money could offer him. I then turned back to Gordon and asked again, "Are you sure you're okay?" It was then much more abruptly this time. He said, "No, I'm not okay. I'm homeless. I don't have a job. No one will hire a homeless man, and I just don't feel like I matter anymore." It was in that moment I was frozen. What could I possibly tell this man who was hurting so badly? It was then I said a prayer in my head that I may say the words that this man so desperately needed. I turned back to Gordon and said, "This money I'm giving you is temporary, but I believe there is someone out there, and I believe there is someone in this church who loves you more than you will ever know. I believe that sometimes life just stinks, but that doesn't mean that you don't matter and that you aren't cared for. And if you don't feel like anyone else cares about you, know that I do." It was then me and Gordon continued our conversation before I had to get up to go to my last interview for national office. And as I stood up, Gordon stopped me, said, "Thank you." He said, "Thank you for showing me that someone cares. I will never forget this moment." It was in this moment, as I left the church, I was overwhelmed with so many feelings, and I cried. I cried because Gordon had just taught me what the true meaning of service is. Service is not about doing the acts that other people see, like standing on this stage, but showing people that love they so desire. Love is created whenever we serve those around us. When I walked in that church, I thought, who am I to think that I am good enough to serve? But as I left that church, I thought, who am I not to serve those around me? We live in a world of millions and millions of aching hearts just waiting to be shown love. We so often see service as volunteering at the food pantry or giving to a cause that we like. But why do we not see service as filling other people's hearts with that love they so desperately desire? Anyone can volunteer at a soup kitchen and post about it on Instagram. But why are we not sitting in that soup kitchen and giving the people there the love they need? Anyone can post about suicide prevention on their Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. But why are we not sitting with the kid that sits alone at lunch or sticking up for the kid that is constantly bullied in class? Anyone can zip up a blue jacket and call themselves a leader. But a real leader sees the aching hearts around them and takes action. Every day, every single one of us walk halls filled with people just waiting to be shown that someone cares about them. Just one simple act of kindness can change a person's day, week, month, or maybe even year. Love is created whenever we serve those around us. Just a couple months ago, I was asked the question, what is the greatest thing you have learned during your time in FFA? The greatest thing this organization has ever taught me is what love is. Love is passionately pursuing what you love. Love is talking to the new kid at school. Love is looking in the mirror and liking what you see. Love is smiling at someone in the hallway. Love is believing that you are enough. Love is seeing people and telling them that they are also enough. Love is busting a dance move and not really caring what other people think. Love is sharing ice cream even when you don't want to. Love is realizing that each and every one of us were beautifully made. Love is embracing your awkward Snapchat faces. Love is reminding others just how beautiful they are. Love is whatever you make it. Love is a short word that has the power to change our world. Maybe right now, you don't love yourself. I've been there. But time and time again, this organization has taught me that it doesn't matter if you're the band geek, you're sitting there, or you're eating, or if you're playing the tuba, you're a baseball player, you're a video game enthusiast, student at the very top row, or someone sitting in the front row right here. Each of us were created in the image of love and are perfect just the way we are. Or maybe right now, you're failing to love others the way they love you. I've been there too. However, I have been reminded time and time again that we live in a world of different people who look different and act different, but the one thing we all have in common is the desire to be wanted, cared for, and loved. Choose to show them love. Today, each and every one of us in this arena have a choice. We have the choice to love ourselves and love those around us and mend those ties that have made this world so extremely broken. So what will you choose? National FFA, I dare you to love, because love is what brings about peace. Love is what motivates our actions. Love is what changes hearts. Love is not defined by a single definition. And love is how we will leave our legacy on this world.
Friendship, we will always cherish the moments that have turned into memories from this year. You have a way of just drawing people in with your contagious laughter and hilarious stories. But then, using your faith, you show people how much they truly matter and the purpose they have in their lives. With a heart bigger than the size of Texas, a caring soul and a listening ear, you have showed each of us that we are enough. You can because you did, and we will love you always. Ashley, Deshaun, Victoria, David, and Valerie. National FFA, your Western Region Vice President, Trey Elizondo!